the doctrine of the virgin birth. Now, why is that doctrine important? The author says for two reasons. It is required for the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Because the Bible specifically states that Jesus will reign on the throne of his father David. I know Brother Garner personally. I love him, appreciate him. But I think I would list number one on the importance of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That it's because we must have a sinless sacrifice. That's why Jesus must be born of the Virgin Mary. That we may have a sinless sacrifice. You recall in the Old Testament, when he's pictured in animal sacrifices, it was required under the law of Moses that the animal be without spot or blemish. That, of course, was pointing in a picture or an object lesson to a sinless Savior, right? A sinless Savior. Now, I'll leave you to study about the lineage, and you study it because it'd be on the test. And let me make a few observations about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If Jesus, mind you, if, now put that in there, if Jesus had an earthly father, he would have a sin nature, right? He would have, if he had an earthly father, he would have the sin nature of Adam. And Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin, talking about Adam. And you recall in Ephesians 2:3, put that down please and work it in there somewhere. Paul recounts the past of the Ephesian brethren. He said, you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Well, that's what Jesus would have been if he just had an earthly father. If Jesus were not born of the Virgin, if he were not a sinless one, he'd need a Savior. He wouldn't be a Savior. You see what I mean? If Joseph were his father, Jesus Christ would be a sinner, not a Savior of sinners. That's not hard to understand. We must have a sinless Savior. Now, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Now put down by the side of that Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, and look at the rest of it. unto us a son is given. Now that finally go in if you let it. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. What I'm saying is Jesus Christ didn't have his beginning. Unless 2,000 years ago, it's always been. That's when he took upon himself humanity, was clothed in human flesh. Now don't say incarnate in flesh, because incarnate means that. Well, it's superfluous. Anything wrong with that? Superfluous. Yeah, that's better. You say, well, I'll tell you, I'll forget my English when I start preaching. Well, you ought not to. I had a preacher tell me that one time. He said, don't talk to me about English. He said, when I get up to preach, I forget about my English. And I can believe it, because I heard it. Thank God he's learned better. You don't need to forget your English. That is, if you're talking in English, you better remember your English. That's if you're talking to English-speaking people, that's the way you convey your thoughts. All right. Stretch time. Okay, let's stand. Those of you that are new, you know, we have our stretch time. When we, you know, thank you. We stand and stretch, take a deep breath, and I ask you, groan, if that'll help, you know. These are long classes, and you say, I get tired. So do I. I get tired of that teacher. I get tired of you. Hand it right back. You say, well, I look at my watch every once in a while. Well, I don't, but I'd like to. I'm tired when the day's over, and if you're done what you're supposed to do, it's too, you're tired too. All right, thank you. You know, I think it's interesting, comforting, to know that you don't go far in the scriptures until you find mention of the virgin birth. You don't go far. Genesis 3:15. Look at it in your book. Genesis 3:15. Now I will put enmity between thee, that is Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, that is seed of Satan, shall bruise thy head, that is it, the seed of the woman. Shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Conflict started here. The seed, note this, the seed of the woman. Not the seed of a man. You are Christian, ladies and gentlemen. The way children are born now, there must be the seed of the man. Fertilizing the seed of the woman. See? The seed of the man. But not so here. The seed of the woman. This is a reference to the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, that early in the scriptures. And it says that the seed of the woman will bruise, or, and that word has in it the idea of crushing, the head of the serpent. And in his crushing the head of the serpent, he will bruise his heel. The bruising of the heel is not fatal. As a barefoot boy, I've had many bruised heels. You know, where I grew up, there were lots of rocks. Took two hogs to make a living. You know, one hold up a rock while the other one root on it. It's poor, I'm telling you, poor country. Just barely could raise an umbrella on. Fertilize it, make brick. And going out over the hills and rocks every once in a while, I had shoes but I didn't wear them in summertime. And you hit a rock with your heel. Peculiar shaped rock and bruise your heel. You don't kid it. You may feel like you're gonna die, but it's not fatal. But when you get your head crushed, that's all. When Jesus was crucified, it was like the bruising of a heel. It didn't last long. Don't you know the powers of darkness rejoice when Jesus is in the grave? They said, we're done with that thought. But they just thought they were done. Third day he came up. But did you know that sentence has already been passed on the devil? Mm-hmm. If they's a number. If they are numbered. And Jesus Christ has crushed the head of the serpent. Next thing's gonna happen to the devil. He's loose. Next thing's gonna happen when Jesus comes back, they're gonna put him in the death cell for 1,000 years. Then let him out for a little while. Give him a chance one more time, and he'll prove that he is that eternal, incorrigible one. And then they'll cast him down forever, and that'll be the end of the serpent. You ever had any experience killing snakes? On the farm, I used to kill snakes with my feet. I had heavy shoes. Well, I did wear shoes, you know. I mean, that's it. And where I live, there's so many snakes, you could take a lot of time to kill all the snakes. I have a plow on the farm where there'd be so many snakes, I wouldn't even take time to kill them all. I mean that. I know you don't believe that. I wouldn't have time to kill them all. But when I kill them, a lot of times I just put my foot on his head and just do that, you know. Say, well, that's all for him. Crushed his head. That's a figure of speech, but you understand what it means. The seed of the woman, the virgin born Christ, puts the devil out of the thing. That's right. Put him out of business. Well, how it occurred. Well, I wish I could explain it to you. I don't think he's done it here in the book to you. The virgin birth, can you explain it? You can't explain even the birth of a child. Now, as we know, children. Oh, I'm excited. I'm supposed to be grandpa last of this month. Just excited about it. My wife's so excited, I think she's having lady pains. I don't understand that, neither do you. Our child is born. You don't understand, doctor, growing up. Well, here's what the Bible says, and I believe it. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. If the Bible says it was on this wise, that's where it was. Amen. Listen to it. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm old-fashioned enough to take that word for word, literally. Begotten of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And I'll tell you, I've made some notes here in my book, and I wish you'd just put yours along around Matthew 1:18. Romans 8:3, it tells us that Jesus was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was made flesh, but not sinful flesh. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. They say, what's the Word there? Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made, was made. And the Word, God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. You say, I don't understand that. Neither do I. But I stand in awe. I believe it. I believe it. John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. Oh. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. You know what that is saying? Just put it down plain talk. No man has seen God in His triune fullness. But the only begotten Son has declared Him or led Him out into time and space. And John said, I've seen Him and I have handled Him. I felt Him. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. He was God veiled in human flesh. You know, if I was shouting kind, I'd tear off the strip right now. Well, I would. This thing's vital. I want you to get it. I want you to believe it. If you don't believe it, don't ever tell me that you don't believe it. I'll be discouraged. And I'll certainly be praying for you. John, well, let's see, just a minute. First Timothy 3:16, along this same line. It says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Now, I'd like for you to put down John 17:4-5. John 17:4-5. You want to read the Lord's Prayer, you'll find it in John 17. That's His high priestly prayer. Listen to what He said. Talking to the Father. He said, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Going back to the Father. But let me tell you, this is simple, yet sublime. Some way beyond our understanding, God left heaven in the person of his Son. God left heaven and came to this earth. That's how simple. He left heaven and came to this earth and took upon himself flesh. He walked, he talked. If you had stuck his hand with a pin, it would have hurt. He got hungry, didn't he? He got fired. He slept. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You say, half God, half man? No. God. Man! Say, explain that. I'd be glad to let some of you do it. The God-man. The God-man. Now another scripture is 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now here again, we cannot fully grasp this. But some way, God the Son laid aside the riches and glory that he shared equally with the Father and came to earth. And he was so poor that on one occasion, he said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The Creator of heaven and earth became poor. He suffered the pinch of poverty. Why did he become so poor? He became poor that we might be made rich. I am rich. You say, well, you don't look like it. You're not. I'm rich, Teddy. I am rich. You don't believe it? Oh, yeah, I'm rich. I don't have what I have and a 10,000 world like we live. Jesus laid aside the glories of heaven. Philippians 2:5, you know, tells us about that. There's so much about it, but I'm trying to emphasize what Jesus did when he came to earth and was born of the Virgin Mary. Now, if you turn on over to page 36, and near the bottom of page 36, when one is with child of normal conception, she is no longer a virgin. But the mother of Jesus, Mary, was a virgin before she was with child of the Holy Ghost. she was still a virgin after she was with child of the Holy Ghost. That's true. She had not known a man. She was a virgin before Christ was conceived in her womb. She was a virgin after he was conceived, because she had had no relations with man. She had no relations with Joseph until the baby was born, so the scriptures tell us. Now, our Catholic friends say she remained a virgin. That's not so. She had other children. Now, I'd like to turn. Put this down in your book or note somewhere. Matthew 13, 53. And along with that, put Luke 2, 7. And we'll talk about Luke 2, 7 before we get to Matthew 13. It talks about the firstborn, her firstborn. Huh. Well, why would it talk about her firstborn if she didn't have any more children? Matthew 13 and verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" I get it. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, we'd say brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, at least two, maybe more. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? They looked upon him with astonishment, and they said, "Well, look, isn't this carpenter's son? Isn't this his brothers and sisters?" This thing that Mary remained a virgin is Catholic tradition. It is not in the scriptures. There's another thing. You ever hear of the Immaculate Conception of Mary? Now, that's not the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. People get that mixed up. That's talking about the conception and birth of Mary. Catholic tradition, not scriptures. Catholic tradition says that she was born without sin. I could take time to read it. I have a book here called Baptist Faith and Roman Catholicism by Wendell Holmes Rome. It's a good book. I recommend it. I've used it considerably. And here's what Pope Pius IX said. He made this pronouncement. Lord, in 1854, did you know that the Pope didn't become infallible until 1870? That's when the infallibility of the Pope started. A lot of folk don't know that. That's right. The infallibility of the Pope was not a part of the Catholic dogma until 1870. But here's what the Papa said, that Pope means Papa. I'm a Pope. In saying, you know, I'm a Papa. By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and in our own authority, we declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds the Blessed Virgin Mary to have been from the first instance of her conception by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God in view of the merits of Christ, Jesus, the Savior of mankind, preserved free from all stain of original sin, was revealed by God and is therefore to be firmly and constantly believed by all the faithful. Now here's the doctrine, you believe it. And another thing they believe, they believe that the Virgin Mary, who was, conceived without sin, after her death, was received bodily. They call it the bodily assumption of Mary. Went into heaven, where she rules as queen of heaven. You say, what's the Bible say about that? Nothing. You know, I have people ask me, say, what do you know about that? I said, I don't know anything about it. Because the Bible's silent. Let me tell you, Mary needed the Savior. Like any other. Now she's called blessed, and she was blessed, because God chose her to be the vessel through whom the Savior would come. And that I agree with. I say, you know, blessed Mary. She was a blessed woman. Because every pious Hebrew mother said, oh, I hope God chooses me to be the man of the Messiah. Mary, all right, your question. Mary was chosen of God, so she's blessed. But Mary has become a matter of idolatry in the Catholic Church. It's nothing short of idolatry. Listen to this, and I'm quoting from Catholic writing. The influence of Mary's intercession exceeds that of angels, patriarchs, and prophets in the same degree that her sanctity surpasses theirs. If our Heavenly Father listens so propitiously to the voice of his servant, what will he refuse to her who is his chosen daughter, chosen among thousands to be the mother of his beloved son? If we ourselves, though sinners, can help one another by our prayers, how irresistible must be the intercession of Mary, who never grieved Almighty God by sin, who never tarnished her white robe of innocence by the least defilement from the first moment of her existence till she was received by triumphant angels into heaven. In invoking Our Lady's patronage, we are actually by a triple sense of the majesty of God, our own unworthiness, and Mary's incomparable influence with her Heavenly Father. I remember one time I wanted to just kind of look around myself when I slipped into St. Andrew's Cathedral downtown, Little Rock. It used to be behind Sears Roebuck years ago, if you remember that location. St. Andrew's Cathedral. I slipped in one afternoon and just took a seat quietly to observe. I observed a lot of prayers written out, you know, for people to pray. Most of them were for Mary. there were candles burning down front before a statue of Mary. Little red snuff flash. Or whatever you want to call it. You don't pay so much to get a candle, which this candle is a reminder of your prayer to Mary. That's reasonable. If there's anybody can get to a fellow, it's his mother. It's human reasoning. Not divine revelation, it's human reasoning. You know, if I want to get to a fellow, I'll get acquainted with his mother. That's the way they pray to his mother. So they pray more to Mary than they do to Jesus. There's one verse that would keep me from being a Catholic. There's one verse that ought to stop every Catholic just dead in the track. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus. That's all. That leaves out Mary. That leaves out all the patron saints. You know, Catholics have a patron saint for everything. If you lose your sweetheart, you got a patron saint. Go to. You lose money, you got a patron saint. If you're making a long trip, yeah, I think they defrocked him some way, didn't they? For some reason. I don't know. I think they. He's been dead a long time, but I think they nullified him. I don't think he's working anymore. If you are a boxer, you got a patron saint. If a woman's a prostitute, she's a patron saint. Yeah. I'm not joking. And yet, the scriptures, I don't know about you, I'm not staking my life, my destiny, everything on anything except the Word of God. If you're interested in studying the Word of God, you'll be happy studying here. If not, you won't. You like to know what the Word says. Well, one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's all. So goodbye, Mary, as mediator. She is not a mediator. Mary, the mother of God. Oh, I don't like that. God doesn't have a mother. Does he? Mary, the mother of God? Who was the mother of God's mother? God had no mother.
Well, you know, I had a lady, we was talking, and she said to me, if I could tell her who was God's mother, she would believe in Jesus.
You just tell her God didn't have a mother.
I told her that she wished, she just wanted to know too much.
You know, you were really telling her the truth.
Amen.
You know, a man said to me one time, and I'll tell you where I met him. I thought it was very appropriate. I met him at a garbage dump. I was pastor of First Baptist Church, Maplevale, and we didn't have a community dump ground in that particular area, so I had to go over in the baseline area where the county has. And I went over there and, you know, took a lot of cans, the same thing too late. And I met an old man. And I thought, well, good chance, you know. Why not garbage dump anywhere else? Why not talk to people about the Lord? So we struck up a conversation. He said, you know what? I believe in God if you show him to me. Let me see. Let me tell you, that man said he didn't believe in God. I think it was a lie. I mean, he believed in the existence of God. I've never met a man. I met folks that tell me they didn't believe there was God. I don't think there's a man that doesn't know that there is a God. See, well, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But really, the original language has in it this idea. The fool has said in his heart, no God for me. I don't want God. I'm going to go my own way. And I mentioned humanism as a philosophy. You need to realize that this thing is really taking the world. You have your own destiny in your own hands. Just do it if you like it. You're your own master. If it feels good, do it. Okay. No matter who it hurts, no matter what it does. I want to be free. Free. They're slaves to their own love. Freedom is in Jesus Christ, the virgin born Savior. Now, not everybody believes in the virgin birth. And I read years ago about this man, Nels F.S. Foray. Let me write his name down so you can see it. Nels F. S. Foray. That's pronounced A, like E and they. He lectured at the seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. We'll have to get that next time.